Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have another great show for all of you today. My guest today will be Irene Rizzo. She's a personal trainer and health coach and author of a great new book that's just coming out called Mountain of Youth, Finding Fitness, A Guide to Getting Fitter, Eating Cleaner, and Living Compassionately. And she'll be coming on in just a little bit. But, of course, first I want to share with you some things going on in and around the area, some things in the news, and my weekly recipe. So let's get started. First, I'd like to share with all of you, coming up this Saturday evening is a farm-to-table benefit dinner up at Catchkey Farm in Kinderhook, and this is an event to benefit the Sylvia Center Learning Garden. The Sylvia Center is on the Lower East Side, and they serve youth in need, and it's a really great program, and they're really teaching them about where their food comes from. And so this is a fundraiser for them. So if you have nothing to do this weekend, take a trip upstate Saturday evening into Kinderhook, and you can go to the Sylvia Center's website to find out more about it, or Catchkey Farm's website. July 24th on Sunday is the March for a Clean Energy Revolution, and there's buses leaving from across the country, everywhere, to head to Philadelphia. Food and Water Watch is organizing the buses, so you can go to their website to sign up for a bus. But this is a big event on the eve of the Democratic National Convention. Thousands will march to let our policymakers know that we want them to take climate change seriously. Some of the demands that this group is making is to ban fracking, to keep fossil fuels in the ground, to stop dirty energy, and to transition to renewable energy as quickly as possible. So great event, lots of good energy, so hope to see you there. Also, this weekend starts New York City Restaurant Week. It starts on July 25th. Goes almost for a month till August 19th. So if there's restaurants in the city that you've been wanting to try that are a little beyond your means, this is a great opportunity to do that. Starting next Tuesday, IE Green will be starting their series of cooking classes. I have three cooking classes coming up. The first one is a Japanese cooking class. All of the classes are vegan and gluten-free. And on the menu for this Japanese one, we'll start off by making nori rolls. And that portion of the class is hands-on, so everyone will get to make their own nori roll. And then we will make an arame sauté, a Japanese stir-fry with tofu and brown rice noodles in sesame sauce. And for dessert, a raw lemon raspberry cheesecake. So it's going to be great. There's still space in the class. You can sign up for that. Then the next class is on August 2nd, and that's a Mediterranean farm-to-table class, also vegan and gluten-free. That one will start off with a watermelon and cucumber gazpacho and go on from there to a wilted kale salad, barbecued tempeh, a quinoa fusilli puttanesca with broccoli. And I should mention also that all of these vegetables, or the majority of the vegetables, we will be harvesting right out of the on-site organic garden. And then the last one will be on August 16th, and that's a Thai farm-to-table cooking class, also vegan and gluten-free. And we'll start off with everyone making their own Thai summer rolls with a peanut sauce. If a peanut allergy is a problem, of course, we'll come up with another sauce. Then we'll have a Thai kale and cucumber salad with a cilantro lime dressing, coconut-encrusted tofu with a mango salsa, vegetable coconut Penang curry, saffron rice, and peach cobbler. Hopefully my peaches will be ready by then. It is peach season, and also with some coconut ice cream. So those classes are going to be great, so I hope to see some of you there. On Thursday, July 28th, we are also sponsoring an edible and medicinal herb walk with Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. Ellen is expert in plant identification and in making salves and medicines with the wild edibles that we find. So that should be a great course as well. That's Thursday, July 28th from 6 to 8 right here at IE Green in Old Westbury. July 28th, Edible Manhattan is sponsoring a good beer evening at BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music. That's from 4 to 8. Brooklyn Brewery, Stella Artrios are sponsors, but they'll have over 15 different breweries, local breweries, serving beer and some great restaurants serving their food. It's only $40, so it seems like a good deal for all that you're going to get. So check out Edible Manhattan for more information on that. If you go to my website, you can get a whole list of lots of different events coming up. Of course, the NOFA Summer Conference is coming up August 12th to 14th at UMass in Amherst. So lots of great things coming up. Check my website at IEGreen under events to find out more about that. On my website, I always list petitions as well, and I send out a weekly newsletter, which you can sign up for. But I really try to ask all of you to take action, to become engaged citizens in voting with your dollars and putting your signature where it needs to be on all these petitions for so many important things. This week there's a petition to support the Monsanto Tribunal. You know, it's an organization of concerned scientists, farmers, and citizens who want to hold Monsanto accountable since our government isn't doing it. So there's a petition for that. There's also a petition to ask President Obama to please veto the GMO bill that is trying to be pushed through Congress right now. This GMO bill, while they're trying to make it out as if it's a labeling bill, it's really anything but. It's actually a bill that will preempt any state legislation and make it illegal for states to have their own GMO bills, like the one that has just become law in Vermont. But we want GMOs labeled. Over 90% of Americans do. Right now, 70 to 80%, I think, of all the food in our country contains some sort of genetically modified ingredients, and we have a right to know what those are. I know I've been preaching this for a long time, but it's really, really serious. So please do your part. It's easy to sign these petitions, so please add your signature to that. There's also a signature to ban atrazine. That is a widely used herbicide, which has already been banned in the European Union for many years, and it's still legal here in the United States. We've sprayed over 70 million pounds of this herbicide in the last 20 years. It's linked to birth defects, abnormalities in children, reproductive problems in men, delayed menopause, increased risk of gestational diabetes in women. It is just bad, and it leaks into our waterways. It affects the animals in our ecosystems, and it gets into our drinking water. So it's just really terrible. Please sign that petition. Let's get this banned once and for all in this country. Anyway, lots more if you want to look through my website. You know, I talked more about the GMO bill. I also talked about a good thing is major food companies like General Mills are helping to pay farmers to transition their farms to organic. With the push of the organic industry growing, it's the fastest segment of the food industry that is growing, more and more companies are realizing that there will not be enough organic product to make the organic ingredients that people are demanding unless we help some of these farmers transition back to organic. I mean, they used to all be organic before the Green Revolution took place and they introduced all these herbicides and pesticides. So now farmers that want to become organic have a really hard time doing so because it's so expensive. They need to transition back to organics. They need to get rid of the pesticides. They need to be in a transitional state for 3 years. Their land has to be clean of any type of pesticides for 3 years. I must say, I think it used to be 7 years. I don't know that 3 is really long enough. But nevertheless, that's what it is now. So it's 3 years. They must be chemical free. And many of them can't afford to do that. So General Mills and some other large food corporations are helping to pay the farmers to transition, which is really a wonderful thing. So just want to share that information with all of you. So now I'd like to share my recipe. This week is a kale and Swiss chard cheese pie, and I'm going to share this recipe with you and then also tell you how to make it vegan. And one of the things that I like to do, I am not vegan, although I eat primarily that way, but a lot of times I take people's recipes and then I look at them and try to figure out how I can make them vegan. And this is one of the ones that lends itself very well to being vegan as well. If you have some guests that are making vegan, that are coming and are vegan, you can actually, do half with cheese and half vegan, or all vegan, and introduce your other guests to the vegan style. Okay, so this is a Cajun Swiss chard cheese pie. So you're going to start by preheating your oven to 375. You'll need a large shaving pan. I usually make this when I'm having a group of people. So you can cut it into 24 or 32 pieces. 32 pieces is a little small. 24 is probably better. You can brush the shaving pan with some olive oil or spray it with some olive oil, in just preparation for making this. So you're going to start with one package of Philo factory pastry. They have an organic phyllo pastry, which is really great. 3 cups of cooked greens, and I used kale and Swiss chard from my garden. And in order to get 3 cups of cooked greens, I needed way more than that. It's probably more like 8 cups or 10 cups. I mean, it is a lot. So it was a lot of greens. And you just cook it down and cook it down, and you squeeze the water out of it, and then you put it into a measuring cup. And so I did that, and I waited until I got 3 cups of cooked greens that were really packed down into a measuring cup. Then 2 cups of feta cheese crumbled, 2 cups of grated Gruyere cheese, and 1.5 cups of grated mozzarella cheese. 1 bunch of fresh dill chopped, 2 large onions chopped and sautéed in olive oil, 2 eggs beaten, 3 handfuls of uncooked organic basmati rice, 1 stick of unsalted butter melted, and 1/3 cup of olive oil. You're going to sauté the greens in a wok using water to cook them. You don't really need to use any oil, but you do want to cook them down. And when they're fully cooked, that's when you drain them, squeeze them out, and measure them so you have 3 cups. And then place it into a large bowl. Add the feta cheese, the dill, the sautéed onions, the Gruyere mozzarella, the eggs, and the rice. Now, basmati rice, you want to rinse it really well before you add it to this dish. So I don't measure the rice. I just do 3 handfuls. And what the rice does when you put the raw rice in, it absorbs any extra moisture in the casserole so that it comes out really perfect moisture and fluffy and not watery and soggy. So the raw rice is really a great tip. So you're going to mix all that up well. Then you're going to melt the stick of butter and add the olive oil to the pot and use that to brush the phyllo sheets with. So you're going to open the phyllo pastry now, and you want to do that right when you're ready to work it, and you're going to work the phyllo pastry quickly. You're going to open it up and lay it out on a flat work surface. And the pastry comes, it's about 1 inch wider than the chafing pan, and it's also about 1 inch too short. So I actually take a scissor and I cut the whole stack of pastry sheets 1 inch from the width, and I use that to add 1 inch onto the length when I'm laying out the pastry. And you start by brushing the pastry with the oil, lay out a piece of the pastry, brush it again, and you keep repeating this. You're going to use half of the box on the bottom and save half of the box on the top. Usually there's about 20 sheets in the box. So use 8 to 10 sheets on the bottom. I want to make sure I have enough on the top. If you shortchange the bottom, it's okay. So maybe do 8 sheets on the bottom and leave 12 for the top. And you're going to keep doing that until you go through half the box. Then you're going to spread the mixture of the kale and Swiss chard out onto the layered phyllo pastry and spread the filling out evenly. Press it down just slightly so that you're really spreading it out so that it's like an even thickness everywhere. And then you're going to start doing the same thing with the phyllo pastry onto the top. Take 1 sheet, brush it with the butter olive oil mixture, taking the smaller 1 inch piece and laying it on the bottom to cover everywhere, and keep doing that until you use up all of the pastries. And then I cut this before I cook it. You don't have to cut all the way through because you don't want to risk cutting through the aluminum pan, but you do want to score the top so that you can easily see where you're going to cut it, and it also helps to cut the pieces without the pastry flaking and falling apart after it's cooked. And so I usually cut it into 4 down the long way, and then you have a choice of cutting it in half the other way, and each half being three pieces or six pieces. I mean, three pieces or eight or four pieces, depending on whether you want to end up with 24 pieces or 32 pieces. And that's up to you. You're going to bake it at 375 for 50 minutes or until golden brown. And then you can serve it with a really large tossed salad, and it's just a perfect, perfect meal. However, you can also make this vegan, as I said. So I would up the 3 cups of cooked greens to 4 cups instead and leave out all the cheese, and instead you're going to use a cashew mixture. And you're going to soak 3 cups of cashews in water for like 2 to 3 hours, and then you're going to blend them in a Vitamix or a Cuisinart with 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of white pepper, 1 tablespoon of garlic, 2 tablespoons of nutritional yeast, and just a little water to make it blend smooth. I'd say probably like 1/4 cup of water would probably be enough in that. And you're going to mix that up, and then you're going to toss the cashew cream that you've just made in with all of the greens and do the same thing. Leave the butter out of the brushing material so that you just be brushing the phyllo pastry with olive oil instead of olive oil and butter, and still bake it for 375, and that will be delicious as well. So enjoy. I love feedback, so let me know how you like the recipe. You will be able to find it on my website or on the Progressive Radio Network's website. Okay, and now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Irene Rizzo. As I said before, she is a personal trainer and health coach, and she's coming out with a new book called Mountain of Youth, Finding Fitness, A Guide to Getting Fitter, Eating Cleaner, and Living Compassionately. Irene, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Bhavani.
Hi,
how
are
you today? Good. I enjoyed all the recipes and cooking classes that you're sharing with everyone.
Oh, good.
I wish I could come to some of them.
Well, maybe you can.
They sound great.
They're all on Tuesday nights. I'm going to plan some for a weekend, too, because I have gotten some feedback that people need weekends. So I haven't scheduled that yet, but I will.
Great.
So I want to first start
with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So this is very exciting that you're coming out with your first book. Can you tell us what was your inspiration for writing your book?
Well, first of all, besides my husband pushing me to do this, I wanted to reach a larger audience because every day I go to my studio, I work one-on-one with clients, which I absolutely love, but I wanted to share my message and my lifestyle with a larger audience. This book really comes from my heart. It's a true desire to make the world a happier, healthier, more compassionate place to live in. So it's, something I'm very proud of and excited about to share with people. Everybody always, when they meet my husband and I, they go, "You guys are like Benjamin Button. You're always looking like you're getting younger." And it's a lifestyle, and I wanted to be able to share it with people.
Uh-huh. So in your private practice, you say you work one-on-one. You primarily teach Pilates, is that correct?
Yes, I'm a Pilates coach, and I do also health coaching. So most of my clients are Pilates clients, and also a lot of them become health coaching clients.
Uh-huh. Now, for those of my listeners that don't know what Pilates is, can you just share with them what Pilates is? Like, what makes Pilates different than other exercise?
Well, Pilates, I get that question all the time. And to me, Pilates has changed and saved my life. Pilates, most people go, what is Pilates? Is it yoga? What is it exactly? What it is, it's a form of exercise that helps stretch and strengthen you at the same time. But when you go for weight training, a lot of times you're just working those large muscles. You get tighter instead of getting more limber. Where in Pilates, you're getting the strength plus the stretch. I also love that it helps your posture, your breathing. It just makes so many wonderful changes. When I came to Pilates, I had 2 herniated discs and impingement in my spine. 11 neurologists told me that I would not be able to move properly if I didn't get this surgery. And they were going to take bone from my hip, put it into my neck. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. So I looked for alternatives that would help me. And one, I found an osteopath. 2, I found Pilates. And it really, really changed my life. And I feel that it's the type of exercise that you could do for the rest of your life. I call it intelligent movement. And it's the type of movement that just makes you feel great instead of like you broke up, like you're beating up your body. So I really, I'm very passionate about it. I love teaching it. I love working with people. It's just an amazing form of exercise. So, you know, when you're looking at something,
is it similar to yoga? Because I know you said breathing, and I know when I think of yoga, I think a lot of the breath as well.
No, it's not. I mean, there's some things from yoga taken into the practice. I actually do add some yoga into my Pilates work. But breathing, it's a different kind of breath, and it's not focused. Like when you go to a yoga class, a lot of it's supposed to be very spiritual. But with Pilates, there's a spirituality, but it's different. It's something that you really, also there's equipment involved, but you can do it. The mat work is the foundation of the work, but there is equipment involved, and the equipment really assists you in the movement. So if you are, you know, injured, you could do it, and if you're an athlete, you can do it. So it's really meant for anybody's body, especially the one-on-ones. And that's how it was meant to be originally.
Now, you're also vegan. And I wanted to know, how do you combine the two? And in your motive, have you always been vegan? How long have you been vegan? And how does that incorporate, you know, how do you bring it together with your book and the Pilates? You know, is it purely for the health benefits, or is it more the compassionate side? What was your motive for becoming vegan?
Well, when I was 11 years old, I was sitting at the dinner table eating a piece of chicken, and my brother came home. He went to MIT, came home, saw me eating the piece of chicken, and he said, "Do you realize that you're eating a chicken?" And it never dawned on me, never once ever dawned on me, that I was eating something that was alive before. And once I saw that and heard that, I couldn't eat anything that was living. It just went right into my heart, and it was over. My mother flipped out. Everybody, what is she going to eat? How is she going to live? How is she going to get her protein? And I'm now almost 60. I'll be 60 this year, and I am very healthy. I've gotten all my protein. I brought my kids up without drinking milk, without eating meat, and we're all, like, extremely healthy, knock on wood. So I really believe that you don't need to eat meat, and you don't need to harm anything else to live a healthy lifestyle. That was my main motivation. And as I got into being vegan or not eating meat, because originally I didn't really understand what being vegan was. I didn't realize that it affected what you wear, what you use on your body, you know, your products, that I didn't realize that the clothes, the shoes, the bags, everything is affected by somebody. So something has to suffer when you're wearing a leather bag or leather shoes. And those things didn't hit me till later on. All of the suffering that goes on for what you eat, what you wear, what you use. So it just hit me at 11, and I've been going on ever since. And then I started to study about it and look into it, and it became a real passion of mine. Mm-hmm. And the passion for veganism also was for health. My mother always struggled with weight. My sister always struggled with weight. I started to struggle much later on with weight. And I wanted to help people. I wanted to share what I knew, you know, could help. So that's how I became a fitness and health coach.
Mm-hmm. So I remember the first time I also heard, you know, like, can you pass a leg? And I never thought of it as, you know, as a leg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Who thinks of that?
Right. It's you like, know, I eat chicken, you know, but I don't eat think. Chicken. You know, I remember hearing someone say, I eat chicken, but I don't eat chickens, you know, and it
right.
sounds different when you say chicken or chickens, you know, and so
right.
very interesting. But
it's so crazy that people don't realize when they're what they're eating. They don't realize the process that it took their food to get to their plate. And it's like we're trained, we're almost trained not to be thinking about what we're eating. It's a habit that which doesn't have to be now, especially. I mean, since I'm 11 going on to 60, the products that are available. I mean, when I used to go out to eat at 11 years old, I'd have a baked potato and broccoli. Now the choices are endless, and the restaurants and anywhere that you go, you have choices. And the more people that adopt this lifestyle, the more that it will be available.
Right.
You and know, it
the
affects
thing that
everything
I also
you
love
do.
About it is, I'm sorry, go ahead. What's that?
No, it affects everything you do, from the environment to everything that, you know, is affected by us eating animals.
Right, right. It's true, the whole chain of events, you know, people don't always think about it. You work as a private coach, and I think you focus a lot on weight loss. Is that correct?
Well, almost everybody, nobody's ever happy with their weight, which is a shame, but a lot of people do need to lose some weight. And it's really, I try to break it down as simple as possible because I don't believe in diets. I believe diets, D-I-E, the first word is die. We're not meant to, you know, starve ourselves. We're meant to eat good, healthy food. So I do focus a lot on that. And I, you know, if I'm going to give somebody a couple of tips to just make changes today, drink a lot of water. We're supposed to drink at least half of your body weight in ounces in water every day. So if you take your weight, you divide it in half, that's how much water you're supposed to drink for optimum health. So that's the first thing that I would do. Second thing is just add more fruits and vegetables. Most people, once you start adding that into your diet, you see how much better you feel. Your body becomes more pH balanced, which, by the way, is another number. Like, if you think about it, there's two numbers that rule your body. You have your temperature, which everybody knows about, that 98.6 that we're supposed to be at for optimum health. But people don't realize you have this other number, which is your pH balance. And if in order to feel your best, like so many people walk around not feeling great, and they don't realize that they're not balanced in their system. This number can really help you. So by eating more fruits and vegetables, you're automatically adding more alkaline food to your system, which makes you feel better. You know, just get more energy from it.
Mm-hmm. And also, disease can't grow in an alkaline environment.
Exactly. So that's so important.
Right, right.
And that's one of the things with weight loss, when you don't have to really, people are so obsessed with their weight, and, you know, I'm not perfect either. I am too. I make sure that I stay at certain optimum weight for me, but you want to make sure that you're doing it right for your body so that it feels good.
Uh-huh.
There's just some other simple things, like people don't chew their food. If you chew your food, you're going to be fuller faster. It's just one of those things that chewing makes you feel a lot, you know, fuller faster.
Plus also
it breaks down
slower.
Your digestive system, right, your digestive system doesn't have to work as hard. So you chew your food. Another thing that I'm really big on is not drinking water when you are eating, because it doesn't help your digestion. It actually waters down your digestion. You have to let your body digest, drink your water before and after.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you wait after? What do you recommend?
Well, you know, I drink a lot of water, so for me it's hard to wait what I recommend, which is an hour, but at least a half an hour. At least, you know, a half an hour. Give your body some time to digest. The longer you could wait in between, that's why every morning when I wake up, I have 20 ounces immediately of water. I wake up, I drink it, I put lemon in it, I'm ready to go. Now, I'm not going to eat a big breakfast because I can't digest that now because I'm all watered down. So I have my smoothie every morning. And the smoothie has the fiber in it. It has all the nutrients in it, all your fruits and vegetables, everything that you possibly need to have the energy to get your day started. And you don't have to worry about breaking down a heavy meal. So many people suffer from indigestion, problems with eating very heavy in the morning. This really gives you the energy, makes you feel great. And I just love starting my day like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different, you know, mixed opinions with, you know, whether you start with the first meal or whether you start with a liquid. You know, and I know I hear from so many people, they go crazy with all the different diets and recommendations. You know, some people say just have fruit before 12. Then there's the theory of not mixing fruit and vegetables. And I know you just mentioned you put fruits and vegetables in your smoothie. What's your take on that, not mixing fruits and vegetables? Do you think that was a myth from before?
To me, I believe it's a myth. I mean, the only time I tell people not to mix fruits and vegetables is when they have a problem with it, if they get very gassy or it doesn't agree with them. But most people can do it. You know, I do it every day. And I'm getting, because they both have lots of nutrients in it. I mean, blueberries and kale, you're not going to go wrong with it unless your system is not, you know, everybody's a little bit different. So then I would suggest take some digestive enzymes. Make sure you're taking your probiotics. Those are things that you could do to start getting your system used to eating fruits and vegetables together.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Now, what else was I just thinking of? What about the idea of needing to actually have the vegetables in your body and your body breaking them down? You know, some people think that drinking your calories is not as good an idea as eating them. You don't have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that because you can eat your vegetables in the morning, but you're going to get everything you need in your smoothie plus your fiber. We're not juicing. Juicing is different. I do not believe juicing is a great way to start your day unless you're going on some, you know, wonderful detox. But the juicing takes out all the fiber that your body needs. So I really do believe very strongly that a smoothie is a great way to start your day. Listen, mm-hmm. for me, I do it every day. All bets are off on the weekend. But not as far as living a plant-based lifestyle, but as far as not eating, you know, I'll eat on the weekends mm-hmm. for breakfast. But I really find that the smoothie fills you up. You have no problem. Like some people, they'll eat a heavy breakfast or they eat, you know, something sweet in the morning, and then they have problems feeling energized. Then they have to have a cup of coffee and then another cup of coffee and then another cup to keep them going. That's not how you want to start your day. Try it. I challenge you to try having a smoothie. Anybody that's listening, if you have my book, I give the recipe of how I do it. But again, it's really simple. It's simple. I don't really measure anything. I make sure I always have all these wonderful ingredients in my house. And a lot of it, I get organic fruit, vegetables, frozen. And then I always have it available if I don't have fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I put all minerals in there.
You don't think the nutritional quality is compromised if it's frozen?
I don't. Not if it's frozen fresh and it's organic.
Right, right.
That, you know, sometimes you have more of the nutrition in the actual fruits and vegetables, because let's face it, most of the time when you go to the market, I mean, you're not doing that because your food, you pick, you know, have it, and it has all the nutritional value. But most people don't do that. Most people go to a supermarket. By the time you go and get your fruits and vegetables, they lost a lot of their nutritional quality anyway.
Right.
So not that I'm saying eat frozen all the time, but if you go and you get good frozen organic fruits and vegetables, you haven't lost anything. Usually there's more of the nutrients in it.
Mm-hmm. Those are good tips. We're going to take a couple-minute break, Irene, and when we come back, I want to actually delve into your book that's coming out, Mountain of Youth. So everyone listening, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm here with my guest, Irene Rizzo. She is the author of a new book called Mountain of Youth, Finding Fitness, A Guide to Getting Fitter, Eating Cleaner, and Living Compassionately. Irene, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, the book is called The Mountain of Youth, which is a play on the Fountain of Youth, because everybody wants an easy pill for finding their fitness or their health. But there is no magic pill. You know, a fountain sounds like it's easy. A mountain, you have to work a little bit to get that youthful feeling that you want. So the book is about, again, it's about eating good food. It's about getting fitter. It goes into what Pilates is, what trends are there about being fit, healthy, and living more compassionately. So for me, the compassionate part fuels into everything else. So the Mountain of Youth is comprised of a lot of things, from your career to your health to spirituality. It just brings everything together to get you to the top of your mountain of youth, your own personal mountain of youth, where you're going to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it shouldn't be overwhelming. It's one step at a time. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So it's one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. And do you encourage all of your clients to become vegan? I mean, are you actually able to transition them to do that?
Well, it's in my heart. And one of the things I tell people, that if it's not in your heart, it's hard to do. For me, it's not hard at all. Every day I live it. I don't find one thing about being a vegan hard. So I try to give them tools to eat more plant-based. I try to give them the tools to feel better. And anybody that's willing to listen, I try to encourage them. I like to work with health coaching clients that are trying to transform themselves into this lifestyle, but I don't force anybody to become vegan. I actually live by example. They see how I look, how I feel, my energy, and a lot of them want to adopt this lifestyle more. Not that they become totally vegan, but they always want to go to the restaurants that I go to, try the products that I'm using, eat some of the recipes. They're always open to those things.
Mm-hmm.
I have helped people transformed, and I'm very proud of that. And even my husband, who was, you know, not vegan, but he's transformed in the last 7 years, and has seen the difference and felt so amazing that I think he talks more about it and transforms people from his office, from every, you know, everywhere that he goes because they see the difference in him. So mm-hmm. it's a matter of living it, feeling it, and when people have problems sometimes, unfortunately, they'll adopt a different type of lifestyle if they don't go the route of just taking every pill that's available to them. And let's face it, the only people that are really advertising on TV or making money are your drug companies. So this is not food, let food be thy medicine. We all know who said that. And that's what I really believe, that a plant-based diet is like eating your medicine that makes you feel great, look great. And I wish everybody would become vegan, but I know that it's not there yet. But I do believe that at some point, because in my lifetime I've seen from no products being available to being able to get every pair of fashion conscious shoes in a vegan style, going to restaurants that are all vegan. This was not available when I was 11. So to see that transformation, and let's face it, women weren't allowed to vote how many years ago. There were slaves, so things do change, and this is one of those issues that I really do think someday will change. Mm-hmm. I believe it strongly.
So for those of us that live in the New York area, can you share, not New York City, I mean, of course, but I know you're on Long Island where I am. Do you have any vegan yes. restaurants out here or restaurants that you really feel are very compassionate to vegans?
Okay, this has been a hard thing because there's not a vegan restaurant that I found. But recently, more and more places are offering many vegan options. One of my favorites that I just went to, and I've been back there like 3 or 4 times because they have an unbelievable vegan menu, is the Purple Elephant, and it's in Northport. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. And then any place you go, you can get great food. Like I'll go to Pasito, I'll get rice and beans and a side of spinach. Or, you know, there's almost any place you go, they're now offering more and more options, but not right. Like I haven't found a great vegan restaurant on Long Island yet.
Yeah,
somebody's got to open it.
I
cook most of the time, and you know I love to recommend you to cook for my clients because uh-huh. I know that they could get great vegan food.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a challenge because also that's the other thing for someone to transition to vegan, they have to know that you can really still eat delicious food. I mean, if you're a foodie, you know that's really important. And there's so much mediocre food out there.
It's really tough.
You know, it's tough if you want to be able to go out and have the freedom that your other counterparts have going out. You want to be able to join them. I'd say that's one of the reasons that I'm not fully vegan is just because I like that freedom. But that's a bit of a cop-out, I think. So, you know, I'm working towards
it. Yeah, no, it's, you know what, I understand that. Not for me, because for me, it's never an issue. Mm-hmm. I would rather eat a baked potato and broccoli than eat something that had to suffer from my plate. But mm-hmm. I understand it because my husband has the same issue. He's always, you know, he was brought up in an Italian family. Meat was their main staple. So for him, he really likes to have something that is meaty and delicious. So now there's products out there like Gardein. You go to Vegas, you will see, because Steve Wynn became vegan, every single one of his restaurants has a vegan menu. And he uses this product called Gardein. Well, my husband loves it. You could put that, I mean, again, it's not available in restaurants. And he does get frustrated when he goes out to eat. But only if we go out. Most people want to go to our restaurants, and most people come into the city with us to go to some of these, which I list in the book, all these wonderful vegan restaurants that are available. And there is, now we do have the Purple Elephant, and I'm sure more and more places are going to open.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And you just have to know that, you know, when you go out to eat, almost any place, I mean, if you think about Japanese, Chinese, there's great selections. Again,
right.
Most places when you go out have mediocre food. That's right. Why home-cooked meals are so important.
Right. You know, I do that, too. I tell people all the time, you're much better off around here trying to go to a good ethnic restaurant that, you know, where it's a traditional food for them, where they're not making some mock fake food trying to make it vegan, but they actually have that as part of their repertoire, whether you're going Italian and you get, you know, pasta with broccoli rabe and garlic, or you go to an Indian restaurant and get mixed vegetable curry, or you go to a Thai restaurant, or you go to a Japanese. I mean, they all have different courses that are vegetarian or vegan already, and you're much better off going that way than going to a traditional restaurant asking them to do something that they don't normally do.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think more and more the more people that ask for it, the more that we'll see it. Like what, you know, I do when I go away, I make sure to ask for it in every place that I go so that people know that there is a market out there for people who want to eat it. Again, everything that is around is fueled by money. So the more people that ask for certain products and ask for certain foods at their restaurants, it's going to be available.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, I don't know if you've heard me say this, but I recommend to everybody that even if you're a meat eater or a fish eater, whatever it is, if you're eating, to care about where your product's coming from, no matter what product you're eating. So if you are eating meat, you know, you want to know that it's raised in a, you know, without chemicals and a more sustainable, if there's such a thing as a compassionate way of raising
right.
an animal for slaughter.
Right, there is no such a thing.
Right.
There is no such a thing.
But, you know,
so.
Still knowing if your fish is wild or if it's farm-raised where it's fed artificial color and chemicals, you know, that's important.
Right.
And it's important for the chefs and the restaurant owners to know that there's people out there that care.
Care.
Right.
It's true.
Right. So can you share with us how
I still have
that?
A difficult...
Go ahead.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you, how does being an animal rights activist affect your everyday life and the products you choose?
Well, obviously I won't wear, eat, or use anything that an animal was harmed for. So I have to, well, I do recommend this one great app that if you're interested, it's called Leaping Bunny. So you could check, you just put it onto a product. And
it
will tell you
whether
it was tested. It's called the Leaping Bunny, and it's a great app. It will tell you if it was tested on animals or if there's any animal product in the food product or anything that you buy. But this has been a process because I'll go into a store, I'll love a dress, and I won't buy it because it's either silk, wool, or leather. But now there's so many things available that are made from other fabrics, and you even have designers now that are making cruelty-free designs that are known for it. So it's so unbelievable to me. But I do. I have to search for the products that no animals were harmed for. I do have to be conscious about I just don't go into a store and buy anything that's available. I really look. I look at labels. I use this app. I shop and, you know, if you Google shoes, vegan shoes, there's a million. Not as much for men. Men, it's still tough. But women, there are so many options for everything available as far as clothing, as far as the products. You have to look at it. Like if you're buying a protein powder, some of it's made with animal product. If you're buying a bottle of wine, some of it's not vegan, so I have to be conscious. I know about this stuff. I look at it, and I investigate what it is.
Right. I was shocked to find out that wine is not vegan. You know, you think it's just made with
wheat. Me too.
Right.
Me too.
Right.
I never knew that before.
Right.
It was, you know, a shock to me. I think I realized that a couple of years ago. That the fining process that they use fish blubber and gelatin and casein and all these animal products for wine. So,
and is that for most wine?
So now I only, unless it's labeled vegan, almost all wines have this process that they go through. Most of them, yes.
Wow.
But now there's an effort to, you know, stop that practice.
I think also the fact that so many high-profile celebrities have been transitioning towards veganism, it has helped the movement as well, right? You have Beyonce, Jay-Z, you have President Clinton. You know, a lot of people have been transitioning to veganism, and that has helped make it more acceptable or mainstream.
Yes, and there's so many of them, and there's so many athletes, and there's just so much media around these people. So it's great. It really has helped, you know, people become more aware because they try to follow sometimes what celebrities do. But also if you just look at Paul McCartney, Stella McCartney, who makes, you know, these wonderful vegan clothes, people don't even know that it's vegan. It surprises me. It shocks me. When I wear either a pair of sneakers or a bag from Stella McCartney, and people don't even, they say, her stuff is vegan? Yes, it's vegan, everything that she uses. Also, Paul McCartney, if you look at what he has, the Meatless Mondays, he's really added a lot to the vegan community. And he's also, he said, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would become a vegetarian. So, there's so many people out there advocating for this. And Morrissey, you know, the musician, he shut down at Madison Square Garden. He didn't let them serve meat. And when he found out that they were still going to serve meat, he left the concert. So people are making a stand. And it's those people. Look at John and Tracy Stewart. They just opened up a farm sanctuary for animals. So this is all wonderful things. And actually, all of my proceeds, well, half of the profits of the book, I'm donating to whichever farm sanctuary. I'll be selling the book at Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, the farm sanctuary in Glen, Watkins Glen, Gene Bowers Farm Sanctuary. The Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, so I will be giving half of the profits to those, and also through Amazon the book will become available, and half of the profits will be divided by the farm sanctuaries and the Physicians Committee. So I want to see, you know, for me this book is more a labor of love. It has nothing to do with profit, and I want to see the profit of the book going to the animals.
Oh, that's great. We're almost out of time. Let's see. So how much exercise do you recommend to your clients? Like how many hours a day or how many times a week?
Well,
how do you,
you know
do
what?
It?
Well, the way that I feel about exercise, of course, I love it and I exercise a lot, but most people don't have that much time. So if you could just get in 30 minutes a day, you're doing great. But I want everybody to remember that 80% is diet, 20% is your exercise. Exercise is an important 20%, and that 30 minutes a day is great. Now, if you're looking to lose weight, you need to do a little bit more than that, and you need to have an exercise plan.
Mm-hmm. And do you recommend people detox, too, before they start one of the, before they, start a real diet? Should they detox first?
Well, I'm very big on detoxing, but I also feel that detox should be in a controlled environment. Like my husband and I and my daughter, we go up to this place called We Care. Every year we do a supervised detox. Detoxing your body is extremely important to do once a year, you know, I would say at most, because when you detox, people don't realize that their body is holding on to, they can't lose weight. They come to me all the time, I can't lose that 5-10 pounds. And the reason why your body's holding on to it, because it needs to detox. It needs to get rid of what's holding on, which is your water weight, the layer of fat, and the detox helps you get there. So I'm very strong on the belief that once a year to do a good detox. I love this place, We Care. I highly recommend it. We go every single year.
And where is that?
Just for a couple of days. It just really helps. It's in California, Palm Springs.
What about the Master Cleanse? Do you know that?
I know of the Master Cleanse.
I love
that. I'm not big on that because I don't feel that it's, you know, really supervised. If it works for you and you can do it, but most people don't do it correctly. You're not in the right environment to, unless you really take it so seriously, you meditate, you detox, you do everything that, so in other words, when you're detoxing, it's not just about what you put in your body. It's also about scrubbing your body. It's about getting off those layers of, you know, anything of skin, that dead skin. It's about just purifying your whole body. There's a lot more to detoxing. I could go on to this for an hour talking about detoxing, but it is a
but
very...
But we don't have an hour.
I know. We're done.
Okay, so... Irene, it's just been so great having you on. Can you share with everybody your website so if they want to find out about your book and order it, they can do that?
Thank you so much. It's irenerizzo.com. And also I'd love if people would follow me on Instagram, which is befitter123, B-E-F-I-T-T-E-R, 123. And I'll be doing a lot of posts coordinating with the book. So,
wonderful.
And tips and things to look
great.
At.
Well, thanks for joining
thank
me. And everybody
so
out there, thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'll see you all again next week. Hopefully, I'll see some of you at this week's cooking class. Bye for now.